And you're very welcome into the second hour of this morning's show. A reminder to keep your messages coming in on 0833 97 97 97. You can call us on 045 898 999. Talk to Emma or Daniel out in studio. Or you can email us studio@kfmradio.com. But talking about studio, joining me in the studio now is on Taoiseach Micheál Martin. Taoiseach, good morning. Thank you for coming to KFM studio, first of all.
Good morning, Hannah. Delighted to be here and to have the opportunity as I'm visiting Kildare, as you know, the new Diageo brewery in Little Connell brewery in Newbridge, a 300 million effectively investment in the area. A huge number of construction jobs have gone into that, and some permanent 50, 60 permanent jobs. And then a wider economic impact. I was saying to you earlier about, I think, 5% of our barley crop Guinness use, and about, 5% of our dairy Guinness use, and about 10% of our barley crop. So you can see the wider implications for an investment of this kind in Newbridge. It spreads into farming, into agriculture, and it's very good news for our economy that Guinness continue to invest, and Diageo do, and it's about a billion investment from 2020 to 2029.
Of course, and it highlights the growing of Kildare growing as a county as well. Again, we're one of the fastest growing populations in Kildare, and along with this, you know, 300 million euro investment for Little Connell, the amount that that will bring in to the county as well. It's no wonder, you know, Kildare has a growing population, but the most populated county year on year, pretty much. So it's a big deal for Newbridge, particularly this brewery coming in.
Yeah, it's a very, very big deal for Newbridge. And I think it underpins Kildare's overall strength as a manufacturing hub for the country. You think of Intel, you think of Hewlett Packard, you think of all the great names. But then you think of the agri-food industry, which is very, very strong in Kildare, along with the equine. And I know our Deputy, you know, Senator Fiona Loughton in Newbridge will be particularly happy. I know Deputy Shauna Farrell will be also, and of course Minister Lawless and Deputy Nisha Carroll and all the other TDs and public representatives. I mean, that manufacturing sense as a key strength of Kildare continues, and an investment like this underpins that with a very strong education underpinning, which is essential for this county and indeed for the country more generally. But the quality of the workforce here is very strong, and that's why Diageo continues to invest.
Absolutely. Going over to other issues, Taoiseach, of course, I can't bring you in here without bringing these up. I think over the weekend, Budget 2027 was a main topic in the papers, particularly saying that tax cuts and targeted measures for older people are on cards for the next budget. Social Protection Minister Darragh Cleary said a hike to the living alone allowance is a priority. I know we're still in, I suppose, early days for Budget 2027, but with it 5 months away or so, are there any set in stone plans? What can people expect?
Plans aren't set in stone, but there are clear themes emerging, and we will be consulting with our Fianna Fáil parliamentary party, and I know Fine Gael will be doing likewise, and the independent pillar of government will be doing that also, and we'll be consulting with all concerned and taking the views and submissions of the public and organisations, trade unions, representative bodies and so forth. But because of the EU presidency, we're probably giving earlier consideration to make sure that we have plans laid out well in advance. The cost of living is a big issue impacting on people, and the war in Iran and in the Middle East, on top of all the other shocks we've had from the tariffs, from the invasion of Ukraine, the energy crisis that happened after that, and COVID-19, people are really taking shock after shock. So there's clear impacts on families, and one of the themes of the budget will be to endeavour to alleviate the pressure on people and on families. And there are a variety of mechanisms available to government to do that. Nothing is set in stone. Those could range from taxation measures to social protection measures to more specific measures. But again, one will have to look at the budget in its totality in terms of easing that pressure on families. And that's the approach we'll take, and we'll have to weigh that carefully in terms of making sure we have enough resources for education, for health and for housing. Because to me, housing still remains the key issue facing the people. We are making progress in the sense of 36,000 houses last year. We will go higher this year, but we do need to go higher again to make sure that young people have a chance of buying a house that they can afford, or renting a house that they can afford.
With the current fuel crisis, and again, we know the fuel supports were introduced last month, It did get a lot of reaction, positive from the agricultural, the farmer sectors, but again, a lot of the, I suppose, the so-called ordinary worker, that is what people are labelling themselves as, saying that they feel particularly left out of this fuel allowance, saying it's not realistic for them to continue to keep going, particularly home heating oil. That's a big one in Kildare that a lot of rural homes are still using. One listener is saying they're paying up to €900 now and are saying, thank God we're coming into the summer months so that I don't have to worry about that. In what world can we expect society to think that way, saying, well, I'm thankful it's coming into the summer months so I don't have to worry about choosing paying?
But fundamentally, it is a cause of the Middle Eastern war, and it has driven prices very high, and it's also resulting in about a 20% contraction in worldwide supply. We have reserves here, which will keep us going in the medium term. But it is a serious issue for people, and I acknowledge that. We did take about 32 cents off the price of diesel and 27% off, off the price of petrol, which will help everybody who use that. So it's not just the food production sector, the farmers, the contractors, and the hauliers, who do need to be looked at, protected, because that affects all of us. We do need hauliers to be able to get goods to the shelves of supermarkets in an affordable way,
of course,
and get goods to
thing.
But then the home heating is going to be a key issue, and that's where the budget comes in for the winter period. We acknowledge we have to help people get over the next winter, that will be, as I said earlier, in terms of the budget and the cost of living, that will be a key focus. We acknowledge that the extension of the fuel allowance by a month has helped families. We, for the first time ever, we brought in those on the working family payment, which brought in an extra 50,000. About 26% of the population are now on the free fuel, on the fuel allowance. So that's an increase and an expansion. That's one measure. But we do acknowledge that that on its own won't be sufficient.
I mean, in terms of, are people this year, can they be promised or can they hope to being comfortable this winter?
Well, what the more key point is, we hope the war ends, which would lead to a reduction in price, although there will be further increases in electricity as the wholesale price comes through into the autumn. So our objective is to do everything we can to alleviate the pressure on families over the winter period and to get them through in a reasonable manner. The government can't cover everything, but we can work, and we have instruments to try and help people get through this period, which is, I have to acknowledge, a very difficult period for them.
There are also questions in kind of the breaking news over a scheme being considered which would offer payments to Ukrainian refugees who return to their home country. Jim O'Callaghan announced that, responding to a report in the Sunday Times. What is the current plan? Is there a detailed plan about that, or is it still in consideration? Well, a lot of listeners are asking about that this morning.
We had a discussion at a cabinet subcommittee meeting about 3 weeks ago. A full memo will have to come to cabinet in relation to that, but the direction of travel is clear that particularly those in commercial buildings and facilities, we want to ease that, we want to end that over time, because that's not a sustainable way from a public expenditure perspective to continue, but we want to do it in a way as well that minimises disruption to communities more generally, to schools and so on like that, so on the return aspect of that, Ukraine is anxious for people to come back. Obviously, the war is on, so it's very, very difficult for many families, and it's an appalling war. And we have seen the destruction of energy infrastructure. So they had a horrific winter in terms of but the war itself, and thousands of people are dying on that front, but also in terms of the cities across Ukraine. Energy infrastructure was damaged, very cold winter, and so that's the reality for many Ukrainians. But we do believe there's a more sustainable way and that is what's underway now in terms of the Minister for Justice. And Jim O'Callaghan and Colin Brophy are working on that, and they'll come to government with detailed plans. On the return, the idea would be that in time, ideally when there's a ceasefire and so forth, that we could help people to get back to Ukraine and to help them to restart in Ukraine.
Okay.
And that would be a sustainable way of doing things.
Okay, and we'll keep listeners updated when we get more information about that and when more plans are put in place for that, when we know more. Taoiseach, I do have to bring up as well the Cura back in 2024, the publication of the Curragh Plains Conservation Management Plan was published around December of that year. In recent weeks, we've had a lot of issues with the illegal dumping and the illegal encampments there as well. Again, it's an issue that comes up every year for Kildare, and people are honestly just fed up of asking how many more years, weeks, the summer months, the Easter months do we have to put up with this. And we've spoken to many councillors, we've spoken to Senator Fiona O'Loughlin about it, but there doesn't really seem to be any actual progress being made on this.
Well, just to say that I would have had experience of that as Minister for Defence. Mm-hmm. What I'm working on at the moment with Minister of State Christopher O'Sullivan and with the Minister for Defence, Helen McEntee, and the Department of Defence, is an idea that the National Parks and Wildlife Service would take a stronger role mm-hmm. in terms of the management of the Curragh and the future of the Curragh.
When can that stronger role?
Well, I would expect proposals to come to us within the next month.
I think listeners have heard that before.
They haven't heard that about. They wouldn't have heard about National Parks and Wildlife.
They've heard of, you know, oh, we're making plans, we're making assessments of this. It would be a question of why can they trust that promise?
No, I mean, they wouldn't have heard about the role of National Parks and Wildlife Service. That's a new departure and would be a very significant new departure. You could be looking eventually in terms of a national park in part of the Curragh. There's many competing interests, as you know. It's a very open plain. There's nearly 5,000 acres involved. So you have a range of activities from farming to equine, and you have these illegal encampments mm-hmm. and high court action has been taken to move on these illegal encampments, and there's been some progress on that, but it is an annual phenomenon which has to be dealt with. But it's a very, very wide and open area. But I do believe moving, because I think what has suffered is, I mean, it's under the it's vested in the Department of Defence. They have a lot of other core activities. And I think it could do with a national body like the National Parks and Wildlife Service to take over and to be the lead organisation in terms of the overall management of the Curragh. Mm-hmm. And because it potentially, from a biodiversity point of view, is extremely rich. And I think could eventually become a very significant amenity for the people of Kildare and for the people of the country. And that's my vision for it. And I'm working with all the ministers involved to see can we bring that about.
Mm-hmm. So going on from next month, hopefully there will be progress on moving it over to the Department of the National Wildlife.
Then
from there, will it be another element of...
It's going to take time. I mean, any legal actions will have to continue apace mm-hmm. in terms of illegal encampments and so forth. But there will have to be planning, you know, there is work done with the Kildare County Council, working with the Department of Defence and the Master Plan and so forth. I think the NWPS, in my view, has a key role to play because it is a huge resource mm-hmm. from a nature perspective as well. And it has all the other interests involved which have to be respected. So I do believe there's a potential here. In my view, this would be the correct direction of travel. There's a sense, as you have articulated yourselves, that this has been hanging around for a while and hasn't really moved on. Mm-hmm. I think I've seen how the NWPS has transformed other geographic areas and parks and so on across the country, and I think this could be an exciting new departure.
And it is that we do have to stay hopeful for the Curragh, and people are quite tired of it. There have been questions, of course, in terms of the illegal encampments on the Curragh came just weeks after the fuel protests, and a lot of comments were being made of, you know, there were the guards deployed out for those protesters on O'Connell Street, and people were asking why is that same level not taken for the likes of people on the Curragh. There's just a genuine question from people who are asking that, about why that same action on the fuel protest wasn't taken for the likes of the Curragh. That seems to be a sentiment being passed around.
Yeah, but I think we need to be careful of those sentiments in the sense that quite a number of days, there are organised mechanisms for protests as well, whereby people normally notify the public authorities, notify the Gardaí, and then arrangements are made to facilitate protests. The blockade of the refinery was a specific area where the Gardaí had to protect the refinery, make sure we weren't sending oil out of the country, which would have been, I think, very damaging to the country in the context of a 20% contraction in oil supply. And likewise, but there is action being taken against the illegal encampments. I mean, one has to get high court orders and injunctions and so on, and that's happening, and that has happened. And what happens is, of course, people move on, and a lot of people have moved on here from the illegal encampments, but others come back next year, is my understanding, and that's been a seasonal thing. Mm-hmm. And that's not satisfactory for the public or for the people living in the area, or indeed for the protection of the Curra itself. But legal action is taken, and we have to do things legally and so forth, and exactly the same in terms of protests, is that there are legal channels that the Gardaí have to operate through.
Mm-hmm. What about the Department of the Wildlife and Parks Service? How can they act on illegal encampments? Some people think, would that not be better off suited for the Defence Forces? What can they
do? No, I mean, the Defence Forces, it's the civil powers have to act, not the Defence Forces themselves, but they would have the same powers as the Defence Forces would have, and the state, essentially, irrespective of which agency, the legal routes would be challenged. But I do believe it would give a firmer governance over the entire Curra and a better sense of management of it, of the resource, and planning as well.
All right, Taoiseach, I understand you are to be at Diageo Lissaconnell Brewery in the next 10 or so minutes, so we will have to cut our chat there. But Taoiseach, I do appreciate you coming into studio, coming into KFM this morning on your trip here to Kildare. Good morning and thank you, Taoiseach.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Talk that matters. Text or WhatsApp Kildare today on 0833 97 97 97. Callan Skip's No Price.